touch my heart like you do. And I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you.
I could search for all eternity. sing it one more time. I could search. Lord, I could search for all eternity, Lord, and find there is none like you. Sing it again. We sing to him. I could search, Lord.
I could search for all eternity, Lord. There is none like you. And it doesn't matter how long we search, we will never find anyone like you. You are the God who meets all of our needs according to your riches in glory. The God who establishes our feet on the rock to stay. You are our crisis crusher, our everlasting God, our Ebenezer, our Jehovah Jireh, the God who makes manifest your provision. There is no limit to your ability. Again and again and again, man tries to explain away your doings, and they come short. Because, Lord, there is no explanation. You defy gravity. You defy every law to bring about your miracles. You're the God who starts with little and ends up with much. You take 5 loaves and 2 fishes. You feed 5,000 hungry men, not counting the children or women. And you end up with more than you started with. You turn water into wine. You part the seas. You cause manna and quail to fall. You cause water to come out of the rock. You raise a dead man from the dead. You give sight to people that had no eyeballs. How do we explain you? You are beyond description, beyond understanding. The only true God, creator of the heavens and the earth. How amazing you are, Father. And yet you look at us and you speak to us. You commune with us. The vast difference between you and us, Medins. Your glory causes God to understand. That even when we are humble, our humility is meaningless. Because we don't compare. But Lord, you communicate with us. You come and you abide in us. You are the unchanging changer. And we trust you with all that we are this day. Recognizing, O God, that it's all because of mercy, all because of grace, all because of your loving kindness that we even dare mention your name. Thank you, Father, for bringing us into your family and making us joint heirs. There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. Let's sing it one more time.
There is none like you.
No one else can touch my heart like you do. Search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise, Lord. Sing it one more time.
There is none like you.
No one else
can touch my heart like you do.
I could search
for all eternity long and find there is none like you. I could search for all eternity long.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, worship team. There is none like our living God. You can't find him any type like him in heaven, in earth, underneath the earth, anywhere else. He's the only true God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory
to praise God. The Lord. Can you shout a big hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Well, good day, everybody. Have a seat. Praise the Lord. Another day in God. You woke up and live among the living. So praise the Lord.
Amen.
Somebody say, I'm alive.
I'm alive.
It's a good thing to be alive. So you have another day to add to the things that God wants you to do on the earth. Hallelujah. After we move on, there will be no more winning souls. So we can win souls. Another day for more souls. Somebody say, I'm alive. To add to my life. Say amen.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. To God be the glory. All right, children, you know what to do. So I think in the new year, I'm going to change the order, so I won't be calling you out every Sunday. We'll have special time when we call you to come. All right? You've been soaked a lot with the power of the Holy Ghost. Say amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for all our children, our teachers. Thank you for our biological children, spiritual children, partners all over the world, extended families. We lift everyone before you, Almighty God. Jesus, you are Lord over their lives. This, your word says, children are heritage from the Lord. We lift this heritage before you. Touch everyone from age 120 plus to zero, to those in the seed form, those in the womb, those moving in the earth. Every decade of life, we declare your lordship over every one of them. May they know you and love you, serve you all the days of their life. May they continue in the path of righteousness. May they excel in life and succeed in everything they do. May their heart be given to you, and may they walk in the fullness of God. We bless them in the name of Jesus. Excel in school, excel in your career, excel in ministry, excel in business, excel in everything. Cover every one of them with the blood of Jesus. The pestilence and the plague of this world will not touch any one of them. In the name of Jesus, we are under cover, under the shadow of the Almighty God. And we thank you, Lord, for continuous protection. We bless your holy name. Children shall not be bullied at school. Ministering angels will be around them. They shall not be bullied at work. They shall not be bullied in their home. They shall not be bullied anywhere. Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
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 Amen. Bless you. See you later. Praise the Lord. Spirit of the living God, we welcome you into the service. Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of knowledge, Spirit of understanding, Spirit of counsel, Spirit of might, Spirit of fear of the Lord, and all your spirit, which is your holy word. For the words you speak, their spirit and life, we receive you into our heart, our church, our nation, our ministry, and in their service. In Jesus' mighty name, say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to read the word of the Lord. Psalm 145. Beginning of the year, I told you that's going to be the theme scripture for the year, so I hope you've been reading it at home. So now that the year is coming to a close, we'll read it again. Praise the Lord. Psalm 145. 145. Hallelujah. Let's start reading. I will extol thee, my God. This is a psalm written by King David. Some of the psalms are also written by Moses. You have a Psalm 100 up. Should be 145. 145, not 100. I will extol thee, O my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I'll praise thy name forever and ever. Did you praise him at your own time this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord forevermore. Say, praise the Lord. How many times will you bless him? At all times. So whether there's good news or bad news, we bless the Lord. Good days, bad days, we bless the Lord. Sick or healthy, we bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Good or bad marriage, we bless the Lord. Rebellious children or good children, we bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody say, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Praise the Lord. That was the scripture. I was just blessing the Lord as I was coming to church all yesterday, and this morning I didn't feel good at all. It was not like a day a normal person would say, I'm not going to church, but I won't let the devil stop me. Praise the Lord. Just keep blessing the Lord. Blessing the Lord. And blessing the Lord. And my strength continues to increase. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 3. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And his greatness is unsearchable. Say amen. That's what we were saying this morning. No one else. Search all through eternity. No one can touch our heart like he does. Blessed be your holy name. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. That means your seed, every generation, they will continue to praise the Lord. They are marked for the Lord. All the generations that come through you, they will praise the Lord. Say amen. Doesn't matter what they are doing now, they don't have a choice. You have called their name before the living God. They shall praise the Lord. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous work. You know when God does something for you, talk about the goodness of God. Don't hide it. Don't be secretive about that. He say, I will talk about it. He say, I will speak. So you are told to talk about the goodness of God. Not talk about you. Some people, instead of talking about God, their testimony is about themselves. Talk about the goodness of God. What God has done. That's a true testimony. Say amen. Not what you did, what God did. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. And men shall speak. Remember, he's a king. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, when a king, the word of a king, that's it. If a king doesn't talk anyhow. So anything the king speaks, it must be. It is the law. Say amen. If the king says, I will bless you, that means he must do it. Otherwise, it's not a king. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If the king says, you are free, you are free. Nobody else can put you in any jail. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The King of Glory has set us free. No demon can put you in any jail. Shout hallelujah! Victory is mine. And men shall speak of the might of the terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. There are just some things that just blow their minds away. God did this? Yes! Hallelujah! You see a building collapse, and most people will die, then you see a little child come out of it. Not one bone, not one scratch. That is the terrible act of God. God protect that child. Hallelujah! Glory to God in the highest. I will declare his greatness. Somebody say he's great and greatly to be praised. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. Hallelujah. When we sing of God, we sing of his goodness and his righteousness. Not God kill my cat and my dog. God, you are great and greatly to be praised. You are a just God. Even when you are in pain, he's a just God. He is faithful and he will take you out of it. You are my deliverer. Hallelujah. My hope of glory. Glory to God. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. God is not mad at you. God loves you. Somebody say, God loves me. Hallelujah. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Are you part of the all? Say, my God is good to me and my household. God is good to me and my family. Say amen. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. God wants us to bless him. So he is going to do the mighty works. He's still the miracle worker. Hallelujah. When there is no way, he makes a way. Hallelujah. When you think everything is over, God says, no, it's not over. It's a fresh start. But this start is greater. Hallelujah. He's the God of the second, third, and many thousands of chances. Hallelujah. His mercies are new every morning. Somebody say, I will bless the Lord. Well, you are a saint. Not when you die, you're already a saint because you have given your heart to the Lord. You don't need anybody doing the ceremony and putting sprinkling water over you or whatever they do and say, now you are a saint. No, you are a child of the Most High God. You are a saint. Somebody say, I'm a saint. Hallelujah, and I will bless the Lord. So can the saints bless the Lord? Say, I shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power. That's what we do every Sunday when you hear the word of the Lord. We're talking about God. His kingdom is the king of vast domain. Hallelujah. The Bible says all the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our God. We're talking about what our king is doing, and he's doing great things. Say amen. Don't be afraid of what the world is saying. You live in another system. Hallelujah. You live on earth, but you don't live in the system of the earth. You live in the kingdom, his system. Say amen. Say amen. Why you live on earth? You are earth. Your body came out of earth, so earth system. But the person who lives inside the earth, which is the Spirit of God that lives in you, is God and God alone. Say amen. Say in him, I live, I move, and I have my being. Say amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. How many generations? This one and the one to come, his kingdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. Somebody say, override. The kingdom of God override every other one. Say amen. So when they declare their fear, you declare your faith. Say amen. When they declare your destruction, you declare resurrection life. Say amen. Somebody say, I got resurrection life. The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raised up all those that be bowed down. So if you are down, it's temporary. You're going to rise. Say amen. If you are not rich today, tomorrow you will be rich. Say amen. Don't stay in and be thinking lack plus lack times lack equals lack. Think, Jesus said, abundant life. That is kingdom. Somebody say, abundant life. Abundant life times abundant life plus abundant life multiplied by abundant life equals what? Abundant life. Green pastures 24/7. Say amen. I don't know if you are saying amen for yourself. You're already praying. When I finish, I say, in Jesus' name, bless Jerusalem, and I'm going to go sit down. Say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you want to pray Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall and that kind of prayer you want to do, go ahead and do that. But we're doing a different one now. Praise the Lord. The word of the Lord stands sure. Can never fail. Heaven and earth will pass away, but not one word shall pass away. This is what is infusing us right now. and this is where we live from. Shout hallelujah. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them what? Their meat in due season. Somebody say, my meat is going to be given to me in my season. There's a due season God has assigned for all your blessing. It's going to come to pass. Nothing can stop it. You're not going to die and leave this earth without getting. God has guaranteed 100-fold in this world and the world to come for those who follow and surrender 100% to him. So I will receive my due season. I will receive my meat. He said, it shall be given them. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I receive my meat in due season. Say amen. That opens thy hand and satisfies the desire of every living thing. Are you part of a living thing this morning? He said, we satisfy your desire. So begin to have good desires. If you have bad desire, we satisfy that. So I'm going to have good desires. Say amen. Hallelujah. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. Somebody say, I don't know about that kind of thing you were saying just now. Where he said, whatever you sow, you shall what? So if you sow bad desire, you shall reap what? Bad desire. So I'm going to sow good desires. And I'm getting good stuff coming to me. Say amen. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. So there's not one bad work. All is good. And you are his handiwork. So you too. Say, me too, I'm good. God is good. And he said, good. Every good and perfect gift comes from whom? The Father of lights. And that's you and me. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him. To all that call upon him in truth. Can you call Jesus? Yes, in truth, because you believe he's real. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. Say amen. Say, Lord, save me and my household. Say amen. The Lord preserved all them that love him. Wicked will he destroy. Say a big amen. So when they plot and they are doing wicked things, even if, when you are not aware of it, you don't see it, God is watching them and God's going to destroy them. There's one prayer I pray all the time. God bless those who bless me and curse those who curse me. I don't need to pray anything more than that. They are taken care of. Say amen. All your enemies shall be destroyed. Wicked people who pretend they are good around you, God will destroy them. He has the eyes that you don't have. Hallelujah. God knows the thought before you think it. That's an awesome God. Before you think or plan it, he already knows the detail and he knows where you are going. And he knows everything you are going to do. Somebody shout hallelujah. Say, my God is good. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Are there all flesh here this morning? Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Lord, we thank you for your holy word. We have declared it as our prayer. We bless you, O God. May your name be lifted higher and higher. In my life and in all our lives, those who are hearing the sound of my voice, that they will be on the Lord's side. In the name of Jesus, we bless your work. Even this morning as we're driving to church, there's fresh snow falling. And every single flake of snow is different. Master God, Master Jesus, we bless your holy name. Hallelujah. Oh God, we bless your holy name. Every single snowflake is different. The glory of each one is different. And yet we have abundance of it. Lord, what can you not do? What can you not manifest? If the snow has that kind of glory, how much more us, your creation? Father, we bless your holy name. It is well. Somebody say, it is well with me and my household. It is well with my business. It is well with my finance. It is well with my health. It is well with my children. It is well with my grandchildren. It is well with my parents. It is well with every generation. Hallelujah. Father, we bless you. We bless the nation of Israel. We speak peace over Israel, over Jerusalem, peace within our walls and our palaces. Lord, we speak the blessing of God over it. You have an everlasting covenant with our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Lord, we thank you, Almighty God, that you're fulfilling that promises. You are blessing every nation through Abraham. We lift every seed before you. The seed that you have created in this earth as human, they belong to you, O God. Receive our souls. Every nation where your name is lifted up, remember them, O God. And touch them and bring forth revival. Revive our nation, Canada. Revive United States of America. Revive Nigeria. Revive every nation of the earth where somebody is calling for your touch. Touch us again. Let many souls enter your kingdom. In the mighty name of Jesus, we bless you, O God, for your touch this morning. Touch every life, those that are sick. We declare them be healed, be restored, be made whole. Because you've already paid the price for their health. We receive. Somebody say, I receive my healing now. Thank you for those who are struggling. Meet their need according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Let your word come with power, with grace, with favor, with mercy, with truth, with healing, deliverance, wholeness, restoration, and many testimonies. We will declare the goodness of God and the mighty works you have done. Blessed be your holy name. Those who have personal need that they can't talk about publicly, meet their need. Yet the God who answer in the closet, answer their prayers, that they will testify publicly. Look what God has done. Pray for all our singles, that you bring them the right spouse. In the name of Jesus, touch everyone. Those who can't pay their bill, provide for them. Give them a job that is worthy of their wages. They have a worthy wages to take care of their need in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. This morning I had a very interesting experience. I was praying and I started singing a song of worship to the Lord. So I decided I don't want to forget this song. It's simple, but I might just forget it. So I decided to record it. So I pushed on the record button, and the strangest thing happened. The recording was given its own title. That is weird. That is not normal. And the weirdest of things, it was given the title of some lousy business called over here, Dong Fong, whatever it is, on my phone. And I say, what on earth is going on here? So I thought, maybe it's just picking up on something, maybe it's not right. So I finished the recording, and sure enough, that was what was on there. My wonderful song was having a wrong title. I deleted it. I tried recording it again. Same thing. I tried recording it again. Same thing. I said, the devil is a liar. How does "You are worthy, O God, to be praised. You are worthy, O God, to be praised. Lord, I worship and adore you. You are worthy, O God, to be praised." Have Dong Fong, whatever it is. I said, "Lord, what are you trying to tell me? There is a reason for this." And he says, the enemy tries to infiltrate all the time. So you got to get rid of it. I don't give titles, but maybe the title for this message is "Spawn to Perfection." Spawn, S-P-U-N, to perfection. A few days back, I was having, I believe it was a meeting with a leadership, and I shared with them about the potter's house. At that time, I knew the Lord would want me to continue with that thought in a broader sense. So I am going to bring that word to us today. God wants to accomplish one primary thing. The primary thing God wants to accomplish is not you going to heaven. You and I never lost heaven. We lost earth. So when God finally restores all things, he will put us back in a new earth. Amen? But what we did lose is our godness. What we did lose is the character of God. That our Lord Jesus Christ came to manifest. And so let us start out from the book of Jeremiah, the 18th chapter. Jeremiah is this great prophet that God raised up out of nowhere. And says to him, before you got into your mother's womb, I knew you. Actually, before I go to Jeremiah 18, let's go to Jeremiah 1. Jeremiah 1, I'll take it up from the second verse. It says, the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, in the 13 years of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim. This is God giving particular timing. The son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the fifth month. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified or separated you. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. I ordained you as a prophet to the nations. Jeremiah's response was, Lord God, Behold, I cannot speak. I'm just a child. You're talking about me being a prophet to the nations? Moses said, I'm a stammerer. I can't talk. It's amazing that God picks people that definitely see that they are not capable. And it brings about something very unique in their lives. The reality is that what God intends to accomplish in your life and in my life, we cannot reproduce. Only He can. And that's why He's got to be the porter. For we are just clay. Amen? So I said unto God, I'm a child, for thou shalt. God says, don't say that. Don't say that. Don't say, I'm just a child. He says, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. I'm going to send you somewhere, and you're going to go to every one of those places. And whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt what? Speak. Whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt what? In other words, God says, if I tell you something, obey it. Did you get that? Obedience. Verse 8. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Don't be afraid of their faces. There's going to be opposition. God has always been clear about that. That there will be opposition. And there will be enemies. He says, but don't be afraid of that. I'm the God who sends my sheep amongst wolves. The sheep is helpless. But that wolf is not going to get you because I am with you. Amen? Amen? God wants us to understand that. I am with you. I'm not saying there are no problems. We're not denying issues. We're just recognizing the fact that we serve a God who is greater than the problems that we'll ever face in our lives. For there is no weapon that has been fashioned that will prosper against you and I. Hallelujah. We've been given the right to condemn every word of the enemy. For our righteousness is of him. Amen. He says, I will deliver thee, saith the Lord. Verse 9. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. The Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put what? My words. Where? In thy mouth. When? When he touched his mouth. When God touches you, he infuses you with his word. Please hear that. When God touches you, he infuses, he imparts into you his word. And that word that he imparts in you is what you use to create your world. Okay. We'll get there. Verse 10. See, I have this day set thee over the nations. What? How did you set me over the nations? My word in your mouth. Did you hear that? God's word in your mouth sets you over the nations and over what? kingdoms. To do what? To root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, then to build, and to what? Plant. Four things that seem to be negative, but they are not really negative. In the economy of God, you've got to root out, pull down, destroy, throw down every agenda of the enemy so that you can build and plant. So therefore, rise with me for a moment. Say with me, Father, I receive your eternal word, your word that cannot be stopped, hindered, resisted by any entity in any realm, in any dimension, in any sphere. By the authority of that word that is now in my mouth, that now infills me through and through, I declare now, in that mighty name of Jesus Christ, my sovereign Lord, kingdoms, nations, entities, everything, bow to the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. I declare now that nations and kingdoms that have stood against me, against the word of God, are rooted out. They are pulled down. They are destroyed. They are thrown down. And in the name of Jesus, I declare a rebuilding of God's purposes, a planting of the Lord that will continue to flourish unhindered, unstopped, without resistance. In Jesus' name, I declare heaven and the earth over my life, over my family, over our church, over everything that we do, to the glory of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Jeremiah 18. He says, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, to whom the word of the Lord came, no, Jeremiah 18. Jeremiah chapter 18. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise. Arise, he says. So if he's saying arise, it must mean that he was settled down somewhere, accepting the status quo, just existed. But God says, arise. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Someone say, Father, I step down to the potter's house. Cause me now and at all times to hear your words. I have hearing ears and I have an understanding mind. I receive knowledge and supernatural wisdom to function in Jesus' name. Amen. The word of God says faith comes by what? Hearing. Hearing what? The word of God. So when we hear the word of God, faith comes. Hallelujah. Now it's important for us to understand that faith comes by what? Hearing. So whatever it is that you and I are going to hear this morning, or whenever, whatever time you may be listening to this, understand that faith is being released with it so that you can accept and receive that which God is giving to you. Amen? Say, I accept and I receive God's word. Say it again. I accept and I receive God's word. Say it this way. I receive and I accept God's word. You see, you can receive the word of God and not accept it. You can receive mail and not accept it. True? Okay. So, when we talk about receiving and accepting, we're saying, basically, whatever it is, God, you are ditching in my direction, I accept that as your best for me. You know what that means in real terms? It means this. It means, therefore, that the onus of giving to you his best is on God's side. Because you're saying, I am receiving and accepting your best for me. Do you get that so far? That's important. Because now, you're not going to live by sight. You're going to live by faith. Faith in what? Not faith in faith. Because many live their lives having faith in faith. No, we have faith in God. And our faith in God is based on the fact that we believe that God is altogether good and there's no evil in him, and that his word, he holds his word above all of his names. So when I receive the word of God, I am not just receiving God. I'm receiving all that God is. Amen? Say with me, I receive all that God is. I receive his glory into my life. Amen. Praise God. Let's pick up speed a little bit. Now, he says, go into the potter's house. He says, I'm going to speak to you there. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel as seemed good to the potter to make it. So he shows him a visual. The potter is right there on his spinning wheel, and he's making something. But what he had was marred. So he made this which was marred another vessel. The fact is that you and I were marred. Marred by sin. And God needs to reform us. Yes. Hallelujah. He needs to recreate us. But recreate us how? And to what? The Bible says to us in the book of 2 Corinthians, and I'll come back to Jeremiah 18 again. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 16. It says to us, Watch this, watch this. This is important. It says, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. We know no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, we know him no more after the flesh. How did we know him after the flesh? We knew him after the flesh as what has been recorded as what he did. This month, we are going to celebrate, even though it's, he wasn't born December the 25th, but we celebrate it anyway because he was born. We celebrate the birth, the miraculous birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. How was he born? He is born by a woman, a virgin, that had no intercourse with a man. He was born because the Holy Spirit overshadowed this woman, and that thing that was found in her was to be the Son of God, and his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So we know the beginning. It was a miraculous incarnation of God. He lived his life. When he became 30, he started his ministry. And for 3.5 years, he did amazing miracles. The first being that he broke the backbone of lack when he turned water into wine. We know all of that. And we celebrate all of that. We see him walking on water and speaking to the storm and declaring peace. We see him molding eyeballs for a man, sticking it in, and say, go wash your face in the pool Siloam. And he goes and washes his face, and he comes back seeing. We see him doing amazing things, taking 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feeding the multitudes. And here God says, we knew him after the flesh, but now no more. I say, why? That is amazing. That Christ that we see, that we see in the flesh, he is awesome. And God says, I want to do more. So I don't want you to dwell on what he did. I want you to continue with what he is doing. Amen. Therefore, it says in the 17th verse, therefore, if any man be in Christ, that man becomes a new creature. Someone say a new creature. Say it again, a new creature. Now, that word, a new creature, in the Greek is a creature that never existed before. This is a brand new model. It never existed before. If you are in Christ, I'm going to make you a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All things are become new. Praise the Lord. So, Jeremiah comes to the potter's house, and he sees the potter and the spinning wheel, but the clay was marred. So he made it again, another vessel. He made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Praise the Lord. As seemed good to the what? Potter to make it. Rise with me for a moment again. Say with me, Father, you are the potter, and I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. Not according to what I want, but according to what you want. For you know the best for me. I refuse to be a cheap imitation. I must be an original, uniquely me, for your glory and your honor, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise God. So, this is the scenario that's taking place. The Word of God says in verse 6 or verse 5, let me look at 5 first. Then the Word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Said the Lord, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. I have a plan and I have a purpose for you. Shouldn't I do what I want? Why are you consistently resisting my will? What I want to do in your life? You are always stepping in and telling me this and telling me that and telling me this and telling me that, and you are not letting my will to be performed in your life. Now, some time ago I read about the potter. I read an article about a potter that was taking care of making a vessel. And generally, they will use both hands. While the spinning is happening, the hand is there, guarding and guiding the formation of that pot. Now, this article said that if the right hand, which generally most times stays on the outside for a right-handed person, if it pushes too hard and the pressure from the outside is not balanced with the pressure on the left hand, that the clay rises up and collapses. But it has to be balanced. So while the spinning is going on, he puts his hand there. From the outside, it starts first, and then he puts his hand on the inside to begin to form that particular vessel in the shape that he wants it. And as long as the outside and the inside is balanced, there's no rising and collapsing, but there's a formation. And based on what he's doing on the inside, that vessel is formed. It is not formed by just what's happening on the outside, but what's happening on the inside. And it has to be balanced. And this is the truth then, that if we allow the pressures of the outside to influence and control our lives, we'll have a yo-yo dance, up, down, up, down, collapse, build up, collapse, mindset. We've got to allow God to work on the inside of us. Praise the Lord. So your strength, your spiritual strength, is what's on your inside. And what's on your inside? The Word of God. Amen. The Bible says that God breathed into man and man became a living soul. Now we find out in the Psalms that when God breathed, he created everything by the breath of his mouth. Oh, that means then, if he created everything by the breath of his mouth, and we know that all things were created by the word of God, then the word of God and the breath of God are synonymous. Which means that what gave me life ultimately was the word of God. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Come alongside. We're going somewhere. The word of God inside of me is meant to accomplish a particular thing. Now, the question that we are going to ask ourselves today is this. What exactly is God trying to accomplish? I already said to us earlier that what God is trying to accomplish is not getting me to heaven. No, that's not his great agenda. But there's something else that he wants to accomplish inside of me. What is that thing that is going to make me a new creation? Remember, are you with me? When Jesus came to the earth, he came as man. And the Bible says he emptied himself of his godness. He came like the first Adam, with the capacity of the first Adam, who blew it because he was disobedient to the word of God. Because, watch this now, he did not allow God to have the final say on how or what he should be. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. He did not accept what God said he is. You say, well, why do you say that? Because the devil told him that God was keeping something from him. And he desired more of that which God was keeping from him, but God was not keeping anything from him. It was a lie. True? Jesus came as a man, emptied himself of his godness, and was perfect man. And as perfect man, he defeated the devil. One man took on the trillions or zillions of demonic forces, a third of the angels that fell because they wanted more than God said. Come on. And they crashed. Jesus took them on as an obedient son and defeated every single one of them all by himself. Not one angel came to help him. Hello? Just one Jesus. Guess what? And with that, he still says, I have more for you. Okay. Now, what we now have that is so different, what we do have that is so different is that we have Jesus Christ, our elder brother, who was totally man, dying on a cross, and he is in heaven with the Father right now as a God-man. That did not exist before. That did not exist before. God and man together seated in heavenly places. That did not exist. That's the new creation. That's what God wants to accomplish in my life and in your life. Bring us to a level in dimension of grace that is higher than Jesus operated in the earth when he was first here. Oh, that is, remember what we said. Faith comes by what? hearing, and hearing by the what? The word of God. So we are not making up anything. And we are not trying to accomplish something that he has not offered. But rather we are accepting, we are receiving and accepting what God says about us. That we are now being created in the image of the likeness of him who is now God and man together. Did you hear that? Okay. Now let's go a little bit deeper. Now knowing that, Paul says to us in the book of Galatians, chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 19. He says, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. So I'm travailing over you until Christ be formed in you. I'm birthing you again. I want you to understand this. It says, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Why? Because they were vacillating between whether they're going to go in the pathway of faith or go in the pathway of the law. Now let's go a little bit deeper. In Romans chapter 8, the word of God says to us in verse 28, these are passages of scripture that we know very well. He says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his what? We are called according to his purpose. Now it goes on and says in verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to what? To the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Huh? To be conformed to the image of his son. So the purpose of God is to conform us into the image of his son, Jesus Christ. But we know already from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, not the one that lived, but the one that is living, seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's where God is looking. And who is this Jesus? He is mediator. He is intercessor. Are you with me? So what is God desiring to do? He is seated, relaxed, because Father says, chill out, I'll take care of business. What is God saying? God is saying, I want you to come to the rest that I have ordained for you. Stop worrying and vacillating between two opinions. Relax and understand that I am God and I am with you and I'm for you. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 and 3. Watch this. It says, beloved, now are we the what? Now are we what? Sons of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. True? It says now. When is now? So this very moment, you are a son of God And then he says, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. That's strange. We are now sons of God, but it doesn't yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be what? Like him. For we shall what? See him as he is. So the thing that causes us to be like him is that we see him as what he is. So until we see him as he is, we will not be like he is. Come on. Are we still on the same page? So it's imperative that I see Jesus as he is now. 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 Because if I don't see him as he is now, I will still be in the progress of we shall be. But God wants me to behold him as he is now. Rise with me for a moment. Because if we are going to partner with God, a God who's established his covenant in our lives, we've got to see him as he is. Say, Lord, open my eyes to behold you as you are, that I may be transformed to the same. I receive the fullness of the impartation of being your representative. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Verse 3 says, and every man that hath this hope in him, if you have the hope of being like him, purifieth himself. Purifieth himself even as he is what? Pure. Oh, wow. Be ye holy, for I'm holy. So what do these false teachers teach us? They tell us that we cannot be pure, that we are just merely humans, that we are perfectly imperfect, that we are sinners, and we do not, by so declaring, accept what God is doing in us and making of us. And then we wonder why we are defeated. Because we're not looking unto the author and the finisher of our faith. I'm not looking at my failures. I'm looking at the one who is the potter, who is making me into the vessel that he desires me to be. Do you receive that? Okay, let's go further. The word of God says to us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. He says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Be ye followers of God as dear children, and do what? Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. How did Jesus demonstrate his love? By obeying the word of God and by sacrificing his life, because he preferred us to himself. So becoming Christ-like means that we begin to prefer the other than ourselves. We look into what is going to make the other person better than what it is that's going to make me better. When we live in that world, we are not living in the world of competing with anybody. wanting to tear somebody down so that you can get ahead. Because that's not where the power is. The power is in our being humble and God elevating us. Hallelujah. Walk in love as Christ had also loved us and had given himself. He gave himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. In other words, he did everything to make sure that the Father is pleased. And what pleases the Father is the obedient heart of sacrifice. So if I allow the potter to mold me, guess what? He's going to mold me so that I respond to God's heartbeat by loving people and caring for people and seeking to do the best that will cause people to rise up to their true potential in God. And by so doing, I'm doing what God wants done. So the first thing and the primary thing is the life of sacrifice. The life of service. You cannot be Christ-like without having a heart to serve. If you don't have a serving heart, you are not Christ-like. If you're not willing to sacrifice something so that others experience the blessing, you are not Christ-like. You are not on that potter's wheel. Now, let me go a little bit further. You see, the clay is necessary for a vessel to be formed, but so also is the hand, and so also is the spinning. The clay, I understand. That's me. The touch of God is his hand. But what is this spinning? This spinning is life. This spinning is a crisis and all the issues that challenge you every day and every night. This spinning is all the problems of the mandates and the COVID and the cancer and the whatever it is. This spinning is all the persecution. This spinning is all those issues that are causing your life to go through a turbulence that makes you wonder, what on earth is going on? Can the world just stop for a moment? Listen, if the hand is on you and the spinning stops, guess what happens? A hole. And there are so many people that are holy, but holy not because they are H-O-L-Y. You know, H-O-L-E. Holes all over because they want the spinning to stop, but they still want the hand of God. No, it is in the midst of your storm that God is establishing the life of Christ. God will not allow you to be tempted beyond that which you are able to bear, but with every temptation, he provides a way of escape. Are you with me so far? Okay. God is working a work in you. God is working a work in me. And that work is to bring us to the place where we are uniquely formed by God. One thing you can be certain of in the potter's house is that no matter how identical he wants to make each vessel ends up being uniquely themselves. You are not going to find in the potter's house any identical vessels. No matter how much he tries, it's going to be different. Uniquely different. That's what causes every snowflake to be different. And I was thinking today, there's never been any identical snowflakes from the beginnings of time, from the very first snowflake till this very moment. There's not been an identical. Just like there is no, so you say, okay, we've got identical twins. They're still different. God has his hand on you very specifically. That's why your cry is not, God, make me like them. No, make me the best fashion, the best version of me. Hallelujah. I want to be the best me I can be. Because God, your hand is on me. A clay without a hand will never be a vessel. It will still be a lump of clay. So I need God's hand on me, but I want him to control the spin. Hallelujah. He knows what I can handle. And he knows how he wants to make me. Are you listening? I have to be uniquely me because of God's goodness in my life. Verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not once be named among you as becometh saints. In other words, I'm doing something in your life, but this you must not be. Fornication. The word is porneia. It's the same word for pornography. He says that must not be in your life. Uncleanness, filth, not in your life. Covetousness, which the Bible also calls idolatry. I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this, I want that. And you sit, oh, I want that. And you're willing to kill to get that. He says, I want his position. So you start manipulating everything to make sure you get that position. When you finally get there, now you become suspicious of everybody. Yeah? Covetousness. Because you are not trusting God to be your source and your provision. You're not trusting God to satisfy every aspect of your life. That's why porneia. That's why uncleanness. Grab, hoard. It makes things unclean. Let me go further. Come with me to the book of Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. I'm not going to be done this morning, I know already. Actually, okay, let's start with Philippians chapter 2. I'll take it from verse 2. Philippians 2. He says, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, there's any consolation in Christ, what should bring you to that place where you are consoled in Christ? If there's any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, verse 2, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, have the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Verse 3, watch this. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Don't do anything through strife or vainglory. Don't be that person who is busy pushing people so that your name is in the light. Yes, I did it. So don't do that. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Now, what is all of this all about? These are the characteristics that God is going to formulate inside of you as he makes us Christ-like. Amen? So we see verse 2 again. Verse 2. We should have same love. What love? The love that caused Christ to be willing to die for us. We should be of one accord. We should be in unity. The same sense of one accord when Jesus agreed with the Father's will. And when he came here on the earth, he said, even though he was tempted, don't think the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ stopped at the beginning of his ministry in the wilderness. His temptation continued right through to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he said, Father, can this cup pass? He is so immersed in this trial that the blood vessels in his body started busting and he started sweating blood. And droplets of blood were dropping to the ground. But he said, but not my will, your will. I know what we agreed on. I was going to die. But now it's time to die, and dying is tough. But I'll do it because it's your will. He came into agreement with God. Guess what? God is calling you and I to come into agreement with him. When you come into agreement with God, you are becoming more Christ-like. Having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. What mind? The mind of Christ. That is a mind of service. I'll come back to Philippians 2, but I want to go to Mark 10 and verse 45 first so that we know the mind of Christ. He says, for even the Son of Man came not to be what? Ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. I didn't come here to be served. I came to serve. What was the context? The mother of James and John were asking him to have one person sit on the right hand of Jesus and one on the left side of Jesus. Guess what that would mean? That would mean kicking the father off. Because there's no right and left. It's only in Christ, not right hand, not left hand. Only in Christ. Hallelujah. We are blessed in Christ. We are promoted in Christ. Philippians 2 again. Let's go. Verse 3 says we should esteem the other better than ourselves. And what does that mean? Does that mean that I have a low self-image? No. It means that I recognize who I am. The Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing who he was, from whence he came, and where he's going, got up, took a towel and a basin of water and began to wash the feet of his disciples because he knew who he was. Our sense of service is because we know who we are. And I do what I do to make sure that you are benefited. What will make him happy? What will make her happy? What will be a blessing to this person today? That's where our thought must be embedded day in, day out. Verse 4. This is part of our being Christ-like. This is what God is trying to accomplish. Look not every man on his own things. Me, myself, and I. But every man also on the things of others. While you're looking at what belongs to you, watch out for the other person. We watch out for each other. God's word says that is Christ-like. When I'm putting you in a spin and there's a need, I'm wanting you to not just look about how you're going to take care of yourself. Watch out for the other person. What can I do to help them make it? That is what we are called to be. Not just about ourselves. What I'm going to eat and what I'm going to drink. And you see, when you live in that realm, you live in a realm of lawlessness. And that's what's happening in our world today. The other day I was watching a newscast, and here's this woman with her baby in her stroller in her own yard. Here comes these two guys and grab her baby bag and whatever it is they could grab, just took it. What are they going to do with that? The word of God tells us that at the time the Antichrist will show up, he is going to be a man of lawlessness. And what do we have in our world today? Lawlessness. So you can go to a store, and especially in California, you can go there and steal whatever it is you want to steal. As long as you don't steal more than $900, you can walk away. That's happening. No, so I'm not kidding. You can steal whatever. So what's happening? People are going into all kinds of expensive places and breaking all kinds of stuff and dashing away with stuff, and they cannot be arrested because lawlessness, self-centeredness. I don't care what it's going to cost you. The insurance company is going to pay for it. Oh, the insurance company is going to pay for it. Really? And it's not going to cost the insurance company anything, right? Because you're going to live for yourself. You're going to satisfy yourself. That's the world of covetousness. We need to watch out for each other. Verse 5, watch this. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you. What mind? Verse 6. Who being in the form of God, hallelujah, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He's in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So if he said, I'm equal with God, it will not be taking on a position or making a declaration that is not true. But though it is true, he did what? Watch this. He, verse 7, humbled himself. He made himself of no what? Reputation. So I'm not looking for reputation. And took upon him the form of a servant, doulos. And was made in the likeness of man. Why? To understand where man is coming from. He put his foot in our moccasins to see how we feel. To understand what we're going through. So the Bible says, we don't have a high priest who doesn't understand us. He knows what our humanness is. And that's why he wants to infuse into us that which we lost, our godness. Amen? Praise the Lord. He made himself in the likeness of man. Verse 8, and being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became what? Obedient. He became what? Obedient. This is a key thing. It is also his obedience that brought about his what? Sacrifice. Even unto the death of the cross. Now, because that happened, he was given a name that's above every other name. That at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee must bow and every tongue confess his lordship. Guess what? That same Christ is the one that is formed in us, which means that every realm has to respect the awesomeness of God in me and in you. Amen. Amen? Amen? That just the mention of his name or a mention of my name attached to his name causes devils to tremble. Praise God. When we receive the word of God, what comes? Faith. And without faith, it is what? Impossible to what? Please God. But Jesus became that perfect sacrifice to bring a sweet smelling savor. So when you and I understand what we are, who we are, God is greatly pleased. Hallelujah. Today, may the God we serve be greatly pleased because we come into an awareness spiritually, emotionally, physically, to that place where we allow him to make us into what he wants to make us. Hallelujah. You want to make me godlike? Amen. No matter what state I find myself, God can still be God. And it's not limited to my natural status in life. Listen. What God wants to do with us is powerful. But one thing I do know, he says, do not be unequally yoked. Yeah? Did he say that? He said that. Now, if the God who said, do not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever, made that statement, he also makes that statement to himself, I will not be unequally yoked to somebody who does not believe. Can we capish that? That makes sense? So if I want to be in partnership with God, I got to start thinking God style. I have to allow God's mind to penetrate every aspect of my person. Think like God thinks. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. I am going to think God thought. Because I'll be renewed in this, what? Spirit of my, what? Mind. Rise with me one more time. Say with me, Father, I receive the mind of Christ. My mind is renewed. I will not think like a mere human. This day, my mind renewed thinks the way you think. You know no impossibilities. Therefore, nothing shall be impossible to me. I refuse to be limited to time, seasons, space, the elementary things of this world. By your grace, help me to begin to understand who I am in you, that I may function as you would me function. Thank you, Father. I receive your ability. I receive and accept restored glory in my life. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I pray that what we needed to hear this morning be lived out on a daily basis by us, every one of us. We are not going to spend our time complaining about what we don't know. Our conversation is with the Lord. Hallelujah. When you spend your time having conversations with yourself, you'll have conversations that will traumatize you. When you have conversations with God, you begin to see that He is the waymaker, that you're not limited to anything that the natural system says is in charge. The water was not in charge when Jesus decided to walk on it. Hallelujah. You say, Pastor, we're talking crazy now, aren't we? No, we're talking God talk. Amen. We're breaking away from the limitations of the natural mind. And we're saying, God, help us. Be everything you say we can be. I am not going to make, watch this. I hear it. The Lord says, stop making decisions based on what you think. Make decisions based on what I say. Oh my God. Decisions based on what you think will always bring limitation. It will cause you and I not to dare to believe. We are tied to history. But guess what? He says, forget the history. I have a new story. A Christ story. And I want to show through you what I can do. I do a new thing, said the Lord of hosts. Amen? Do you receive that word? Then shout hallelujah unto the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Now, be seated. Saints, be seated. I want to thank God for every one of you. I want to thank God that we are a people that are given to God and that the God we serve is on our side. Today, if you didn't get it, I hope you get it now. If you are not serving, you cannot be Christ-like. And so if you want to be Christ-like, stop complaining when you are serving. Stop complaining when you are serving. That's your opportunity to become more Christ-like. You get to serve. Amen? Hallelujah. And one of our services to God is in our giving. Praise God. You and I cannot outgive God. It's not going to happen. Not today, not tomorrow, not ever. You cannot outgive God. So dare to believe God for your giving. Every week, I dare to believe God for my giving. God, what do you want? And I want that to be our lifestyle. Amen? So tonight or this morning, I want you to just step out in faith and by faith. If you don't like tipping, crumbs, then be the kind of giver that God celebrates. Since God loves cheerful givers. He will take it from grouches, but he loves cheerful givers. Amen? So today, I want us to come by faith and just honor God, celebrate God with thanksgiving, and let God be a blessing to you. Hallelujah. So come. Let's come quickly. Let's honor God with our giving. Let us say yes and amen to his word. He is a God who multiplies our seed sown. Need a few minutes from you, no more than 5 or so minutes after we finish the service. And Sister Kristen, those images I sent to you on Friday or whenever, get those ready. Are we done? Those of you online, I trust that you have honored God also with your giving. And those of you that made commitments for the renovation, I want to encourage you to continue to obey God concerning that. You will only be able to fulfill your commitment as you take step by step heading in that direction. He will provide what you need to get what needs to be done, done. Amen? Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Wait just a moment before we take our communion.
Let's do that after we close.
Confusion.
Yeah.
Okay, so don't run away. After the service, we have an announcement.
Okay. Praise the Lord. That's right. Father, we thank you, Lord, for grace. We thank you, Lord, O God, for the revelation of who you are. Thank you, Lord, O God, that we behold you. And we are being changed into the same glory. When we step out of this place, may we never forget what you've shown to us. That you are establishing the fullness of who you are in us. As we take of this body and of this cup, manifest your glory, Father. Thank you for the invitation to this table of blessing. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Take and eat.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Let's take the cup of wine, the cup of blessing. It's not alcohol, it's just juice. As we take of this today, may our lives be transformed. May we know who we are, that we are truly new creation in Christ Jesus. That every old thing has truly passed away. Somebody say, I'm a new creation.
I'm a new creation.
Old things have truly passed away.
Old things have truly passed away.
That includes my sin nature. I receive the life of Christ.
I receive the life of Christ.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
And I function.
I function.
As the body of Christ.
As the body of Christ.
If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
So take up the cup of blessing.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Raise your hands. Father, we receive every blessing. So, Lord, O God, from this very moment, we will be a blessing.
Amen.
We will bless your name and we'll bless each other.
Amen.
We'll give to you and we will give to each other.
Amen.
Bless all of our givings and cause us, O God, to represent you well, in Jesus' mighty name.
Jesus' mighty
name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Just be seated briefly for a short moment. I'll let Mama share the announcement that she was going to share.